Hi guys, this is the hostess with the mostest, Olivia. How's everyone doing on this wonderful Wednesday? It is hump day, y'all. So how's everyone doing? As you guys know, I always look on Twitter, which is my favorite time of the morning, to check to see what's trending. And today what was trending was Remember 9/11. Guys, today is the anniversary of 9/11. What are some of the memories that you may have when this tragedy happened? Do you remember where you were and what you were doing at the time? I sure do. I can tell you exactly where I was and what I was doing when 9/11 struck. I was home with my son. I was married at the time. I was still married. And we were in our new home. And little man, he was about, I'll say, maybe about 3 or so. I guess he was around 3. I'm just trying to think. He was a little guy. He was walking. He was up and walking. And he was getting Star Trek because he was very, very smart. He knew how to put Star Trek in the DVD or in the, back in those times, like we still had the VCR as well. So he knew how to put the either the VCR or the DVD tape in, and he loved watching Star Trek. So we were in the room and he was getting that, and his dad was at work. His father was working at the bank at the time, at MBNA actually. And his father called and said, you know, do you have news on? I said, no, I'm upstairs with, you know, with our son. We're getting ready to look at Star Trek. So he said, you need to turn the news on. I turned the news on. He said, look, they have it fixed where we can't even come from work. He said, you know, we're under attack. I said, what do you mean we're under attack? What is going on? So I'm looking at the TV and they're playing it over and over again with the plane, the 747, crashing into the building. I said, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. A few minutes after that, the second one crashed into, I said, oh my. Then it was just like, it was mass mania at that point. I mean, it was just, you know, and with my ex-husband, he's my ex-husband now, being military, all he kept saying is, we're under attack right now. And they had actually, all the ships and everything, they had them come, you know, toward, I guess, closer to shore, and they were lining up the boats. I'm talking about the fighter boats. The military boats were on the water, because at this point in time, you know, everyone's thinking, okay, we're under attack at this moment. They kept playing it over and over again on the television. I was upset. My husband wasn't home. He said they had blocked off the roads where he couldn't get home from work. I mean, it was mass mania. And I just remember me and my son, we were looking at the TV, and I grabbed my son up, and we were just sitting there just looking at the TV, and him being so small, he didn't know what was going on. And I was just like glued to the TV, talking to his father, trying to say, okay, well, you know, what's going on? And he was like, look, they barricaded us in where we can't, they're checking cars. It was just mass mania at that point. And I will never forget of where I was when that happened. It was mass mania. And it's something that you will never, ever forget. And that's why I said, each and every person can remember what they were doing when 9/11 happened. You can remember the exact place you were, what you were doing at the time, when you looked at the news. I mean, it's just something that you will never, ever forget. The whole world was just, we couldn't believe it. And it was like, we're under attack right now. That's just what it felt like. And it's something as far as all of the people who perished, all of the people that died during 9/11, we do still send our prayers out to them, to the firefighters and the police officers who were in New York and who were trying their best to get the people out, who were just doing everything they were supposed to do. You know, it was just, it's something that we will never, this nation, this United States, we will never forget. That's something we will never forget. So I think with that trending on Twitter today, that was a, it was very important that we all, and it was pound remember 9/11. So I just think that that, to me, you never can forget something like that. And moving on to our main topic, guys, and let's talk about it. It is internet stalkers. Have you ever been stalked? Let's talk about it. Well, let's jump right in. I have stalkers. I am being stalked. I have stalkers, and I have crazy stalkers. And the thing about the situation is when you have crazy stalkers, it can be someone who may have been so obsessed with you that they're doing petty stuff because they can't have you or they can't be with you or you don't want them anymore, or just doing petty stuff because you may have thrown them out of your place and told them to get out. You might have gave them a certain time frame. And since they didn't have their self together, you just basically threw them out. Your 30 days are up. And then they feel as though they want to do grimy stuff and start stalking you, start getting other people to stalk you and things like that. With me, I actually had my stalker arrested and removed from my place. And he continued on stalking me. And, you know, I called the police several times. Now the last time when they actually picked him up, they came, they rolled in like six cars deep and told me to stand back because the police officer actually told me to get, you know, to get it expedited so they could pick him up. So when I was talking to the two cops, they said, look, if you want him out the house, I'm going to tell you what to do. You know, this is what you do. You go to the court, you go in, you expedite the situation of, you know, him being in your place, expedited. I did exactly what the cops said. And they said, we'll go get him. And that's what they did. I had it expedited. The judge called it in. They first went, picked him up from the job. Now, the second time I called, this is when the cops had told me to expedite to get him completely out. So when it was expedited, they went like six cars deep. Told me to stand back. Actually, the cops had me like in a whole different section. And they said, just let us know which, you know, which place, which apartment you're in, to the door. And then the cops scooped me up and took me back to the car and said, we will get them. So they had, they surrounded the place, put their gloves on. When you know, when the cops put their black gloves on, did they get ready to grip up somebody? So they gripped him up out of my place and removed him. So I had him locked up. We went to court. This is where the stalking really began. Now, after this situation, this is when I start getting stalked even worse. Now, mind you, I know it's him. I know as far as that it's other people that's involved. Oh, I know the whole situation, everything that's going on, that of him getting other people involved. But see, this thing about this situation here is it's one or two things that happen with stalkers. They get killed or they get locked up. It's only one or two things that happens to stalkers. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But then you have stalkers, and we're going to go through the type of stalkers. We have the seven types of stalkers and how to spot them. Now, this is from Psychology Today website. And so we're going to go ahead and jump into it and let's talk about it. Ladies, now I'm quite sure you might have someone who you may think that's an okay guy. You break up with them. You know, they don't want to leave the situation alone. So, you know, they start stalking you at your job, at your home. They, you know, I mean, start stalking you, your family, you know, just craziness. So we're going to go ahead and get it started at the different type of stalkers. We have the domestic. Now, this is a stalking a former spouse or, you know, a girlfriend, boyfriend, something like that, an ex, things of that nature. This is the most prevalent kind of stalking, and one which can manifest into the workplace, putting innocent bystanders at risk. Now, that is the domestic stalker. The next one is called lust. The serial predators who stalk victims after victim. Serial rapists and murderers may begin as lust stalkers. Now, for example, we can say Ted Bundy, which I know a lot of you know who Ted Bundy is. The next type of stalker is the love scorn. An acquaintance, a coworker, a neighbor, etc., who desires an intimate relationship with the victim, but is rebuffed. That is a subtype of the love scorn stalker, is someone with the delusional disorder. Now, this type of stalker, usually female, believes her target is madly in love with her. The woman who repeatedly broke into David Letterman's home and stole his car, claiming to be his wife, is one, for example. The next one is the celebrity stalker, those who stalk famous people, for example, John Hinckley. The next type of stalker is the political stalker, stalking motivated by political beliefs, which could include either agreement or disagreement with the victim, for example, Sirhan Sirhan. The next one is the hit. What that stands for, ladies and gentlemen, is the murder for hire, stalking of a victim by a hired killer in order to commit murder. Now, currently, we have some other things we're going to talk about. Now, I would propose adding one additional category to the list, which is the revenge stalker. An angry former employee, an aggrieved business partner, a resentful neighbor, a vindictive relative, or any other person usually known to the victim whose motive for stalking is payback. Now, mind you, have one of those too in the workplace. Now, it can start in the workplace as the stalker, as you either reporting the person of what they have done, and then they get fired from the job, and then they start stalking you. So, mind you, we have all different type of stalkers. The revenge stalkers, I think, are the worst. Now, currently, as far as usually their motive is, stalking is for payback. One example is the ex-con Max Caddy in the movie Cape Fear, who stalked Sam Bowden, the lawyer who represented him at trial. And that was a very, let me tell you something about Cape Fear, because one of my favorite actors played in Cape Fear. So if you ever seen it, you will understand the craziness of it. I mean, it was crazy. Trust me. Now, mind you, there is no reliable profile to predict who is likely to stalk. Some patterns have begun to emerge from research, and although these fall short of providing a reliable checklist, what we have learned so far is interesting and could be useful. The following patterns apply to the U.S. population and may not apply to other nations. Now, this is some of the profiles of some of the stalkers: unemployed or underemployed, late 30s to late 40s, high school or college graduate, more intelligent than most criminals, any race of ethnicity, mostly males. Noun, mostly. Noun, you may have some females who may be stalkers, but the majority are males. And often delusional. So those are just some of the traits of a, you know, profile of the stalkers. Now, what we can say is in one study, clinical and personality disorders were present in more than half of the stalkers evaluated. Generally, few stalkers are, you know, just basically narcissistic, borderline, histrionic, or, you know, they're just, what you really want to say is just basically they're out of their minds. They have mental disorders of where when they may think that the person is in love with them, so they keep going after the person. The revengeful stalker is just basically stalking you because they're angry, because they may have lost something, such as a job or something like that. And then you have the domestic stalkers, who where it can be a ex-husband, a ex-boyfriend, a ex-wife, a ex-girlfriend. You know, they're very upset because you may have left them, or you want to leave them, and you left them completely, and you may be with someone else. So they start stalking you and the person, or they might end up either killing you or the person. The domestic stalkers are very, very dangerous, because if it's an ex, then, you know, with the exes, things can go turn left. Somebody may end up killing someone, you know, when it comes to the domestic stalkers. So you have a number of different stalker types. I would say that you really have to, and I'm going to be quite frank. I'm a Second Amendment type of girl. And I believe, you know, everyone has the right to bear arms. And with me being a Second Amendment type girl, I believe truly in that. And I think you should protect yourself all means necessary. When you know that you have stalkers, you do what you need to do. You protect yourself. Because then you have a lot of crazies out here who they are stalking you by worrying about what you do every day. They're so obsessed with you that they can't keep your name out of their mouth. Like, you're the everyday conversation. Now, in all reality, they are stalkers. They want to know what you're doing every day. They have to talk about you every day. They have to say, oh, well, what's going on over there? Or what's this? Something has to be said about you every day from specific people. Those people are stalkers. So when things like that are happening, you really have to look more deeper in that, and you have to be careful, and you have to protect yourself. And that is what the Second Amendment is for. Everyone has the right to bear arms. Remember that. You do what you need to do to protect yourself and your family. Get your permit. You do what you do and what you have to do the lawful way. If someone makes you feel for the fear, or you feel in fearful of your life, and you feel as though you have to protect your family, and they're coming at you and your family, you do what you need to do. That's my opinion. That's how I feel, and that's what I will do to protect minds. I can't answer or speak for anyone else. I can only speak for me. You do what you want to do, but I feel as though you should protect yourself all means necessary when you have situations like stalkers, because a stalker, they get so obsessed that they might kill you or try to kill you. So you really have to protect yourself in each and every way and be prepared. Always be ready, set, go. And now, guys, we're going to move on to sports talk. Here we go. Now, what we do have is Lamar Jackson from the Ravens is named Week 1 AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Let's talk about it, guys. And of course, you know, I am a Ravens fan all day, every day. So we do have on Sports Talk today, through the Baltimore Sun, we have that Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson has been named AFC Offensive Player of the Week for his record-breaking performance on Sunday, which the Ravens blew out the Miami Dolphins 59-10. It was a blowout. That's what you call it. Go Ravens, go. Go Ravens, go. Oh, we coming in strong this year. We sure are. We talking about 59-10. We killed them. Sure did. Now, also, it's the first ever NFL honor for Jackson, who has started just 8 games in his career. Jackson led the Ravens in helping to set franchise records for points in a game, points and a half, total yards, and margin of victory. He also set a career high for touchdowns, completion percentage, and passing yards, and became the first player in the Ravens' history to record a perfect passer rating. Now, come on, y'all. Come on. Oh, he's bad. He's a bad motherfucker. That's what I'm saying. He sure is. He is bad. Now, he actually, he's a younger guy as well. And the thing about this is that the Ravens, if we go each year, they haven't been really doing, you know, that well. They've been doing okay, but I see a difference this year that they're basically coming out and they're just, when I say come, they're coming out strong. Like they're actually hitting the daggone ground running. I mean, it's wonderful. I'm so happy about this. And I'm a Ravens fan anyway, all day, you know, Maryland all day. So I'm Ravens. You already know. So I'm so happy about this situation. I think Lamar, he did a wonderful job. Congrats to him. Keep up the good work. Keep, you know, pushing the Ravens right along. Because when we're talking about 59-10, that was, come on. You're talking about a blowout. That's what that was. So congrats to Lamar Jackson and go Ravens. All right. So what we do have, let's get into some entertainment news. We have Miss Rihanna. Go Riri. Her new lingerie brand, Savage Xfinity, launch show at the New York Fashion Week. So she actually launches her show. And the thing about Riri, you already know Rihanna, she going to bring it. She most definitely is. She going to bring it to you. So what we have, and I'm just looking at what she has on right now. I really love her outfit. I love her shoes. She's looking well. She's looking like a diva, looking like a boss like she always does. Now, mind you, this is the New York Fashion Week. And we just have some things that we're going to go over today from the CNN Style Capital from CNN. Let's talk about it. Now, mind you, quote unquote from Rihanna, my vision for Savage X brand has always been having women feel comfortable and expressing themselves, said the musician turned entrepreneur in a video showing behind the scenes of the design process posted on the online shopping portal. There's no rules with designing lingerie. You can go as comfortable as you want. You can go as sexy as you want, she added. Now, mind you, Rihanna's line ranges from comfortable but stylish. She has the leisure wear to ornate satin and lace lingerie with a push-up t-shirt bra and a lace-up bodysuit among the best sellers. Products come in a range of shades to match all skin tones. No Pinky Page nude underwear here. While the line comes in sizes 32A to 42H, XS 2-3X. We want to make people look good and feel good, Rihanna said in a press release, quote unquote. We want you to feel sexy and have fun doing it. Now, currently, as far as just some of the images that I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at one that Rihanna has on, and I'm telling you, it's very, very sexy. It's actually all black, and it comes all the way down. She has like the satin little skirt on with it, with the stilettos to match. Just looking sexy. I mean, just to look at this, I would absolutely wear this and rock it and look sexy with my curves. So I would definitely wear this. I think it's very sexy. I think it's very boss. I just, you know, it's Rihanna. Just with me looking at it, it is gorgeous. I really love it. And the thing about it, this is the second time Savage X Fenty has shown at the New York Fashion Week. Its debut last year using a diverse lineup and two pregnant models was widely praised for its focus on representation. The show's closest parallel, the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show, which was canceled this year but is expected to return in the future, has faced criticism for lack of diversity. In 2018, Ed Razek, the former chief marketing officer of the brand parent company, he resigned in August, told Vogue that the event wouldn't include transgender or plus-size models, saying the show is a fantasy. Now, currently, days before Razek stepped down, Victoria's Secret hired model Valentina Sampaggio for a campaign, making her the first trans model, but she's yet to walk a runway for the brand. So currently, as far as Victoria's Secret, it looks like as far as they didn't, you know, come, you know, they didn't come up or were able to do a show. You know, I'm very surprised by that. You know, I'm surprised by that one myself. So, you know, I see it's a lot going on with Victoria's Secret. I think what it is, when they're saying that Victoria's Secret's not showing a lot of diversity, I think it's because usually with Victoria's Secret's models, they're smaller. They're smaller models, and they usually go towards the smaller people. Now, mind you, I love Victoria's Secret. I have a Victoria's Secret credit card. And my size, and I'm not a small woman, you know, I'm thick, you know, and in the right places. And I love Victoria's Secret. And I brought a beautiful lingerie from Victoria's Secret. It was really nice. I really loved it. It's very comfortable. I wore it once, loved it. And for me, I put it on just so I can put it on to see myself in it. I was just in the mirror looking like, oh, I'm really loving this on me. It was so comfortable. The color was gorgeous. It was a Hawaiian orange. It reflected off of my skin tone. It was gorgeous. So, you know, I hope Victoria's Secret, they come up from what they're coming, you know, going into about they need to be more diverse and you'd be more, you know, do more diversity and things of that nature. So I hope they do start doing that more. But for Rihanna, congrats on your brand Savage Xfinity. We really love it, girl. It's totally you. Very sexy, very in control, and a boss. So, I mean, that is just completely her lingerie. It's completely her. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is the end of my podcast show. So, you know my motto, let's talk about it. This is Olivia, the hostess with the mostest. And guys, please do hit me up, leave a voice message. Tell me what shows that you do like. Tell me if you want me to do a certain show or talk about a certain show, or if you have anything you would like me to, you know, talk about, just please let me know. Other than that, you have a wonderful night. I am the hostess with the mostest, Olivia, and I'm gone.